kind of envy. He's going to be down there, but we appreciate your ministry here. I cannot say enough about missionaries. We are getting ready to consider Chris Hughes. Now, Chris Hughes is the director of Springs of Life Youth Camp. And if you want to see sacrifice, go down there. He lives with three little girls, his wife, and himself in those motel rooms. If you've ever been there, you know what we're talking about. They're trying to get housing, but Clearbrook wants to personally take him on. Clearbrook is probably 175 people. Here's something that might encourage you. We give $100 a month to missions, per missionary. We have 40 missionaries. How much is that? Now, how much is that? No wonder you're poor. It's $40,000 a year. Guess how much we were over budget last year? $40,000. You can't go wrong with missionaries. You really can't. And we supported them for years. We don't take them on, and that's up to you. I'm putting a plug in for them. See how much we've got in the budget. I've always believed if you're in financial trouble, take on another missionary. Amen. I really believe that missions is the heartbeat of God. That's why I believe that you should be writing that check to this missionary for $5,000. Okay, so it's a joke, folks. It's a joke. Loosen up. Loosen up. I am in the position where God blesses us. My wife works three jobs, so I don't have to preach for money anymore. Never did. And when I did preach for money, it wasn't a whole lot. I'm in it for souls. I want to see people get saved. I want to see people that accept the Lord as their Savior. And a lot of times we give up and we step back and say, well, that's not my cup of tea. Well, I want to get you to Romans chapter 3, and I'm going to share with you my cup of tea, my favorite theme in all of the Bible. It's not preached on a whole lot today. I'm sure your pastor does because I know him. But it's not preached in a lot of churches. As a matter of fact, been in a few independent Baptist churches. When I preached this, they were not satisfied or happy with me at all. But the Word of God says, as unto God, not pleasing unto men. So I'm not here to please you today. I'm here to preach the gospel. If you like it, say amen. If you don't, the altar's here when we get finished. You don't even have to wait. I want to share with you in Romans chapter 3, and we're going to start with verse 22, and if you're able, would you stand for the opening if you're able? If you're not, of course, you don't have to. We look at verse 22, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all of them that believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Jesus Christ, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation or substitute through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remissions of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say, at this time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believes in Jesus. Father, we thank you for the day. We thank you, Lord, for every opportunity we have to share the Word of God. We thank you, Lord, for Valley, for its people, for its pastor, Lord, what they mean to us personally in our lives. And it is like family. It is like coming home. I pray, God, that they will clear their minds of the needs of the weak, and the burdens and the heartaches they may be carrying, and hear the Word of God. And I pray, Lord, that I would only say those words that you lay upon my heart. Have your way in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, and you can be seated. Only by the blood. I've had people tell me when I had preached that particular theme that they did not come to church to hear Butcher House religion. Now, I'm the old school. I was raised in a time when you preached on the blood, people were happy that you preached on the blood. But today, they just want to feel good. Now, I want you to leave God's house today feeling good. I want you to go out rejoicing. But if there's something between you and God, you're not going to be happy. Matter of fact, you're going to lie. You're going to go out and say, Pastor Andrews, that was a great message, and you didn't hear a word. I've had people do that. They'd slept through the service. Actually slept and went out of church saying that was a great message. And I was tempted to say, how do you know? The only thing that prevented them from snoring is that I would speak loudly. And I've always spoken loudly. It is a hideous dishonor to God that offers salvation based on divine charity and not upon the blood of Jesus Christ. For example, people say, God loves everybody. How many of y'all believe that? You can say amen. You can be a little more enthusiastic. Huh? How many of you believe that God loves everybody?
Amen.
He says he is no justifier of people, neither should we be. So we look at it and we say, well, I'm a different color, I'm a different age, I'm a different standing in social issues, so God must not care for me at all. And I know that God loves everybody. Well, if God loves everybody, why do people die and go to hell? If God loves everybody, why do people die and go to hell? And I'm, of course, not here to debate you on the subject of hell. I just happen to believe that it's real and it's forever. And people go there when they reject Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. It's as simple as that. The fact remains that the redeemed of heaven, that would be you and I that know the Lord as our Savior, we recognize the only right that we have in heaven is because of what Jesus did. You're not going to heaven because you're a member of Valley View. You're not going to heaven because you like Pastor and Mrs. Boone. You're not even going to heaven because you like me and are going to give me $5,000 after church. They're awake, Lord. You're going to heaven because of what Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, God in the flesh, did for you. He died for you whether you wanted him to die or not.
Amen.
He looked down through eternity and he saw you and he saw me. Now, I have been privileged to be saved 55 years. Ministry 42, 43 years, something like that. And I have never seen God fail. If somebody truly wanted to be born again, they could be born again. When is the last time you went out in public and told somebody about Jesus Christ? Now, I was telling Brother Paul a while ago, I mean, the internet, and we're not on it, is a great tool. You can witness to 1,000 people on the internet in a week. I can remember the time in Rocky Mount when we were there years ago that we would have soul winning and visitation on Monday nights. And 25 or 30 or 35 people would show up every Monday night. Children, teenagers, old people, young people, middle-aged people. They'd show up and I'd say, that's your street, that's your street, that's your street. I don't want you to come back to the church until you have finished your street. People would get saved. People would come into the church. Folks, if you expect people to get saved because Valley View Baptist Church sits here, you got another thing coming. That's part of it. But people are going to get saved because Pastor Boone and you folks preach and practice the blood of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And if you don't, you might as well shut the doors. So every Christ rejecter who hopes to be received through the love of God, minus redemption in the blood, the Bible says it's in vain. In other words, if you hope to get to heaven because of who you are or what you are, you ain't going to make it. And I'm going to prove it to you. I want you to go to 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7. Now, if you don't have time to turn, I hope you will. You'll write the scripture down. But I want to share with you, the Bible says, and we're going to see this word over and over and over. And I thought about this, and I prayed about it. Lord, why do you want me to go to a Bible-believing church and preach the blood? He didn't tell me. He just said, go preach the blood. So there must be somebody here that's unsaved. There must be somebody here today that used to be excited for the Lord, but the blood doesn't mean as much to him anymore. Well, I've tried. God doesn't want you to try. God just wants you to trust him. 1 John 1 and verse 7, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, We have fellowship one with another, and what does it say? The blood of Jesus Christ. Let's go back and say it together. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from some sin. Oh, your Bible didn't say that? All sin. Now, that doesn't mean you can go out here tomorrow and, well, all my sins on the blood, I ain't got nothing to worry about. Every time we as Christians, me or you, go out here and willfully commit sin, we're saying the blood doesn't mean as much to us as it used to. I had a young pastor ask me some time ago. He's just getting ready to go into pastoring, and he said, "Brother Andrews," he said, "you're old." Everybody was slapping, but I let him finish the question. And he said, "You've been around the block and you've pastored a lot of years. If you could give me one piece of advice, what would it be?" And I said, "Pastor, get your eyes on heaven's shore and see who's waiting on you. Not your mom and your daddy, but the Lamb of God. And visualize Him shedding His blood and keep that as the central theme of your ministry, and God will bless you." Brother, who was up here teaching Sunday? Paul. Thank you. Jesus said in Matthew 4 and verse 10, I think it is, "Follow me and I will make you" what? "Fishers of men." Now, when I started out in the mid to late 70s, I used to preach in long hair and short dresses and smoking and drinking and blah, 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 blah. You know what? I don't do that anymore. It ain't my job to clean you up. It's my job to catch you and let Jesus do the cleaning. And if you still do those things after you got saved, you're just not letting the Lord. And by the way, He's got a real sharp knife. By His blood, the soul and the spirit of man is purified. Do you know what that means? That means that as I stand before God spiritually in heaven right now, I am purified. Think about that. God does not see one single sin. Every time I sin, Satan, the great accuser of the beloved, is there saying, "Look at that. If Bob Andrews was really saved, he wouldn't be doing that." And the great advocate of the child of God, Jesus Christ, He's mine. My blood was shed for Him. He has accepted that. Now, I will lose rewards when I get to heaven if I don't set it right with God, but that's another different story. So if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and His blood, the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. That word "cleanse" there is literally in the Greek to make extraordinary, period. So God makes us as clean as we can be. Some of us have forgotten why we're here. Some of you go to church, some of you are members of this church, and you tell everybody that you're born again. But, and I do not say this to be funny, so make sure you know that. People at Valley View are like churches that Nan and I visit all the time, and I'm not your judge. They look like hell, they smell like hell, and they act like hell. And then they go out and say, "Look at me, I'm a child of God." It's a fearsome thing to stand before God one day and tell Him that the blood had been applied to your life, you were truly born again, yet you produce nothing. You remember what Jesus told the disciples? He said, "We would produce some 30-fold, some 60-fold, and some 100-fold. Some will produce more than others, but we as the children of God will produce for the living God." I think about a Catholic friend of mine. He was my best buddy in Michigan. He's still a good friend. He's lost. Not because he's a Catholic, because he follows the Catholic way. He doesn't follow God's way. And by the way, I don't care what you are or who you are, if you don't come God's way, you ain't getting there. You're not going to make it. Doesn't make any difference what the isms and the schisms say. We have the only God that's alive today. The Muslims tell you, Allah Akbar. God is great, and God is great all the time. But let me tell you this. It's not Allah Akbar that's going to get you to heaven.
Amen.
It's Jesus Christ, God himself,
Amen.
That's going to take you there. Then if you look up at Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7. Ephesians 1 and verse 7. The Word of God tells us there, I want to share with you, the Bible talks about divine grace. Because of the blood of Jesus Christ, we're forgiven. No other reason, no other way, period. In whom we have redemption. Have you got it? Ephesians 1, 7. I want to make sure you see this. In whom we have redemption. What does it say? Through his blood. The forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Angels have witnessed a lot over the many millenniums that God created them. But they've never experienced, nor will they ever experience, God's grace. Why? God did not die for angels. God died for man.
Amen.
And I'm going to say God died for mankind. Not humankind, but mankind. Mankind includes every man, woman, boy, and girl, period. We live in such a politically correct world today that if you say one thing off the beaten path, everybody suddenly jumps on you. Kids are being bullied. That's cool because of what they stand for. Somebody told me the other day, you know, it's a wonder you haven't been killed in the ministry. By the way, you preaching what you preach, and all I preach is the Bible, what I'm preaching to you today. You know why I haven't been killed? God ain't got done with me yet. Isn't that terrible latent language? God ain't got done with me yet. God is not finished with me yet. He may tomorrow, but he's given me another chance. Through his blood. Attend the church, and we do live in a society today. It's sad. I've been saved 55 years, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Sunday school, preaching, revival meetings, prayer retreat, whatever, we're there. And we don't go out of habit, we go because we love the Lord. We actually together missed last Wednesday night prayer meeting where we attend church. Because we were both coughing so bad, what's the use to sit there and let the preacher preach over our coughing and disturb people? So we stayed home. And what a long week it was, because last week, you remember, we had those flurries and churches all over the place closed, including ours. You know, it can snow in Michigan and they close church in Virginia. Yeah. How about not? Might not get there. And how sad it is today among the blood-bought people called the children of God. And it's going to say ouch to you. Now we no longer need the Word of God taught to us. That's why we don't go to Sunday school. We don't have to go to prayer meeting. That's why we don't pray anymore. Oh, we might have a special two-minute prayer session. But basically we've forgotten who we are and where we're going. We're the children of God on our way home, and our only obligation, because we love the Lord, is to take as many with us as we possibly can. On the 18th of March, my wife and I will return to the Lighthouse Baptist Church in Rocky Mount. 40 years ago, we started that church. And we stayed, and we built buildings, and we went in debt, and we got out of debt, and we went in debt, and some of you have been there. It's a beautiful campus. But after 30 years, it's time for me to step away. It took them 10 years and 7 months to invite me back. But boy, are they going to get it when I get there. My job's to encourage them. And they say, this is the legacy of Bob Andrews. This is the legacy of Daniel Boone. No, it's not. This is God's legacy. God built this work. He only let Daniel Boone and you in on the deal. Amen. And if God lets us in on a deal, it must be a good deal. Why don't we take it up? Because we're afraid of what people will say and think, especially in a small community. According to Colossians 1:20, in heaven we made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say whether they be things in heaven or things on the earth. There are those who preach another gospel. Turn TV on and hear them anytime. You can go to some churches. Treat your neighbor right. Treat him kindly. Go to church. Do your best. But Hebrews 10 and verse 26 says, for if we sin willfully, there remains no more sacrifice. I have a nephew. My wife and I prayed for him. He's 40, 45 years old. Raised in the Christian's home. His mom and dad go to church all the time. But he don't want anything to do with it. My nephew will sit and I will talk to him when I get to go to Northern Virginia. And I'll get him by himself. I don't want to embarrass him. And I'll watch the tears run down that man's face. And time after time after time, he'll say, Uncle Bob, I don't want it. It's not for me. We have a next door neighbor, a wife witness to her. Best cussers in Roanoke County. You know what the wife said to my wife? I want nothing to do with your God. Michelle, there will come a time you will want something to do with him, but he will have nothing to do with you. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. Until the blood is applied to the child, to the teenager, to the adult, to the old person, until you, by faith, come to Jesus Christ, you are going to bust hell wide open. And we're not fearing that anymore. That men and women are going to spend all eternity there. Where the worm dieth not, the thirst is never quenched. All because we did not want what Jesus had to offer. Ed Heinzen was in our church a couple of weeks back. I don't know if you know him. He's dean of theological seminary at Liberty. We had him when we were there all those years ago. But anyway, he made a statement that people today look at their grandmothers, they look at their parents, they look at their pastors, and they say, not today. And someday when I get to the end of the road and I've lived my life and sowed all my wild seeds, made my money and can sit back and relax, then I will accept it. And I say this to you by experience. After 55 years, I'm glad that God got a hold of me as a 12-year-old boy. Given my testimony many a time, the soul winner at the altar that day had to explain it three times before I figured it out. Before the light came on. But the important thing is the light came on. The light of the world called Jesus Christ. And guess what? It's never gone out. I'm just as saved today as I was all those years ago in that little country church. And I started out running for God. And then I run from God. Then I run into my wife and got married. It's all downhill after that. No. We live. May will be 47. She has had 47 blessed years. That's where you say amen, or I'm going to keep on preaching. I thought that'd get you woke up there. God help her. You know where we met? We met in church. We dated in church. I picked her up and took her and her mother to church. We got married in church. We've served God all of our lives. The central theme has been the church in our lives and the people, God's people. And I know that there are you that sit here today that love the Lord with all of your heart. You ache and you weep, not only over your loved ones, like my nephew, but you weep over the next door neighbor, the man you've never seen. We got a millionaire friend that lives in Brookneal. He rented a house to us. I witnessed to him. I talked to him on the phone. I sent him a check in the mail any way I can. And he said, well, I'm almost there. The man recovered from brain cancer. He's 76 years old now. And I said, almost there is not there. The only reason, Bob, that you're living perhaps is because God wants to give you that one final chance to be saved. Well, if I come down to that altar and get saved, Pastor Boone will think, I thought you were saved. Who cares what he thinks? Amen. And I say that respectfully. Your soul is far more important than what I or the other preachers think. Through the blood, redemption. If you're deliberately, intentionally, purposely rejecting after the Spirit has made a divine grace clear to you, then you are lost forever. God said to Noah, my Spirit will not always strive with man. God will not always deal with men. There's coming a day when it's all going to be over. The trump's going to sound. We that are saved are going to be caught up to be with the Lord forever. The tribulation period, Armageddon, the millennium, and then eternity. We're going to live forever for God. Have you ever said these words? Here's something that's encouraging. Have you ever said, man, the best years are behind us. You ever say that? I have. Best years behind me. I'm 67, and I used to say, I don't have as many years in front of me as I got behind me. I lied. Because the Word of God says, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has it entered the heart of man, the things that God is preparing for those that love Him. The best is yet to come.
Amen.
Then why shouldn't we share our wonderful Savior with people? Why shouldn't we plead and beg? Whatever we have to do. And as a pastor, I can say this to you. Every time you sit home when you could be in the house of God, some neighbor is watching. And some neighbor is concluding it's not as important as they say. I don't want to be guilty of pushing people away from God. I want to be guilty of pulling people toward God. I can't convict you. I can't convince you. That's not my job. That's the Holy Spirit's job. Some of you just can't wait to get home. I mean that home. Boy, you just can't wait to get there. Now, you're not going to go out here, hopefully, like that young man did. He had a run-in with a rock yesterday, and the rock won. Them rocks are hard. They'll get you every time. Anybody here step in front of a train lately? Say, I think I can beat the train. My F-150 can beat that train. That train will get you every time. Don't hurry it up. But God's waiting. And God loves you. And God wants you as a child of God to share that faith with people. But sadly, this one, I'd be a fool not to think this. Some of your lives cannot be well-pleasing unto the Lord. Your number one responsibility is to get through this life alive. And then when you get ready to go to the other side, take as many with you as you can. My legacy will be the people that I've witnessed to, that I saw saved. And I've personally had the opportunity of winning hundreds of people to the Lord. Well, preacher, I get nervous and I get scared. I mean, I don't know what to say. Don't worry about that. God said, open your mouth. I'll put the words in even before you open your mouth. I'll take care of that. All you have to do is be willing. Nan and I went to Rocky Mount all those years ago. $160-some in the pocket, didn't know a soul in the world, and we said we believe God. And if you go to Rocky Mount, you see what God's doing. He did it through us because we were willing. We wanted to share the blood of Jesus Christ with a lost and dying world. We still want to do that. Angels have seen God's wisdom. They've seen God's power. They've seen God's glory. But they've never experienced God's grace. And then finally, I want to take you to 2 Corinthians, and I'll close with this. And I'm going to turn there. Some of the verses I wrote down because I knew I wouldn't have time to turn and read at the same time. But 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 13. And should I be going overtime, don't worry about it. No extra charge. Just make it an even $5,000. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things pass away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who have reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ. The only way to get to God the Father is through Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And have given us, look at this, he's given us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and have committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead be ye reconciled to God. We're ambassadors for Jesus Christ. One of the things that my mother said when I left home, she said, son, don't do anything to bring shame upon your name. Most of the time I listened, there was a few times I did bring shame. I can't do anything about it. My mom's in heaven now. But I'm an ambassador. I may not be the best ambassador. I may not be the best Christian you've ever met. I may not be the best preacher you've ever met. But I'm an ambassador for Jesus. And I say to you on the authority of God's word, by the blood. By the blood. By the blood. Don't be ashamed of who you are. Maybe tonight I'll preach that. Remember who you are and don't forget your way home. Remember who you are and don't forget your way home. So if you're here and you're making all kinds of efforts to get it right with God, but you haven't come to Jesus by faith and trusted him, child, teenager, adult, old person, whoever you are, you have no hope for heaven. God has not promised you you could come tonight and hear the word of God and get saved. Bible says today is the day of salvation. Now, this moment is the accepted time to trust. Our goal is to encourage you. And we hope the blood does encourage you. But our goal is also to challenge you to some of the ways people are living their lives. And we wring our hands in these last days and say, what's going on? Bible said in the last days, the love of many would wax cold. Does your love wax cold? I'll tell you, I love my wife as much as I did 47 years ago. Might not be as hot, but I love her as much. She's still my wife. She's still the woman that has walked with me all these years. Raised her daughter and on down the line we can go. But somebody I love far more than her is my God. I ask you today, do you know him as your Lord and Savior? Are you sure that there's been that time that you trusted Christ and it was so real, he forever changed your life? And you know that. If you don't, you can take that opportunity to be saved today. As your love began to wane or to cool for the Lamb of God, if ever God's children needed to stand, they need to stand today. Let's pray. In a moment,